Greens. Welcome back to the Sean Green Show. I'm Sean Green. I want to thank everybody out there listening. Make sure you go to SeanGreenShow.com. That's SeanGreenShow.com. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Sean Green Show. And also, if you want to follow me on Facebook, you most certainly can. It's Sean Green Show Media. And definitely going to talk about TV here because Walking Dead, oh my God, season 5. If you have not seen it, I'm not going to even spoil it for you, but it's definitely worth watching. And right now, I'm going to bring on a super celebrity hotline, John Kubicek. He's a senior editor at BuddyTV.com. Hey, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you, Sean?
Hey, I'm doing all right. So, all right, Walking Dead Season 5 broke all kinds of records. 15.6 million viewers, according to Nielsen. What's the deal? At one point, I thought Walking Dead was kind of falling off. I never really gave up on the show. I always kept watching it, but then I heard people around me always complaining about, oh, Walking Dead, this season wasn't good, and that season wasn't good, so I'm going to stop watching it. And then come Sunday, everybody's watching it. Everybody's tweeting. Everybody's, Facebooking about it. And then Monday morning, 15.6 million viewers. So what's the deal here?
The deal is AMC is great at promoting this show, where you've got Talking Dead afterwards, a talk show devoted entirely to talking about the show. They are constantly killing off major characters, which means you have to watch it that night. That's another thing. A lot of people are time-shifting and watching things on DVR. The Walking Dead is not one of those shows. If you wait a day, you're probably going to get spoiled if you go anywhere near the internet or another human being.
Right.
And AMC also, at least several times a year, re-air the entire series. So leading up to the premiere, they aired the entire season to get fans caught back up, get back into the spirit. So it's just, it's an exciting show. It's a must-watch show because of all the twists and turns, and they're not afraid. Hey, they killed a major character in the last episode. They're not going to kill another major character in 2 episodes in a row. Maybe they will.
Right, because I'm telling you, I was watching this Sunday, and I'm sitting there, and I'm eating my pizza, and it happens, and I swear to God, a pepperoni came out of my mouth. I'm like, what the hell? And I'm like, what is this? You can't kill that person off. And they actually did.
They actually did, and that's what has made that show so successful, I think, is that they aren't afraid to do that.
Right.
They are constantly killing off. A fun fact that I saw is throughout the 5 seasons, there have been 25 main cast members on the show. 11 of them have so far been killed off.
Wow.
That's a 50% mortality rate for that main cast. So,
right. You never know who's gonna go next. You just got to stick with the show and see what happens.
Exactly. And anyone can go. That's even you were just saying, they can't possibly kill off that character, can they? Apparently they can.
Right. And while we're on the same page as AMC, Better Call Saul, the spinoff from Breaking Bad, had premiered. It has had a 2-night premiere, Sunday night and last night, and that came back with 6.9 million views. And I thought that was phenomenal, considering the fact that, when I was watching it as a viewer and as a fan of Breaking Bad, I will say this, that the first 15 to 20 minutes, I was kind of confused. But then I sat there, and by the last 30 minutes, I was like, okay, I get it. Let's go with it. And I stuck with it, and I'm glad I did. So is this what's to be expected from Better Call Saul?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's very similar in terms of Breaking Bad, but more the later seasons. If you remember the early years of Breaking Bad, it was always sort of a slow boil, building up and building up. Whereas with Better Call Saul, I feel like at the end of the first episode, they were like, we're full steam ahead now, and we're just going to add new twists and explosive characters that you know and recognize. And they've just done a great job of sort of making it its own show while capitalizing on everything that people loved about Breaking Bad. which is why, yeah, you said 6.9 million viewers, and in the 18 to 49 demographic, it's the highest rated cable series premiere of all time.
Right. And
so getting the Walking Dead boost helped a lot, but clearly people are not over Breaking Bad, and it defied a lot of expectations where you think, oh, they're going to do a spinoff, it's not going to be as good. Everyone, of course, remembers Joey, which spun off from Friends and really tanked.
Right.
But Better Call Saul seems to be defying that trend.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I want to move on to Fox's Empire, the hip-hop drama is what I want to call it. And, you know, when I saw the previews for this show, I will say that this was not going to work. I was like, no, there's no way. It kind of reminds me too much of Hustle and Flow. There's no way this chemistry can work for television. And to my surprise, it was actually really good, and I'm hooked on Empire. And it got greenlit for a second season, I believe. And
it already did.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where you can't really judge things off the previews, at least with TV anyway, because with movies, it's a little different. You can kind of tell if it's going to be a good movie or not. But with TV, you never know which way it's going to go. And Empire is just one of those shows that, you know, I didn't think it was going to be good. And it's actually pretty decent.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a great show. I think a lot of it is just outstanding characters. Taraji P. Henson as Cookie is just a scene-stealing, amazing, talented actress. And, yeah, it does. A lot of people are always cautious because, oh, it's a new network show. It's premiering at mid-season. And then it got a lot of viewers in the first week. The amazing thing about Empire is that it actually increased in viewership week after week after week. So word of mouth, excitement, Twitter built up. And that is really unprecedented for a TV show. Usually, there's a lot of people tuning in to sample the first episode, and then there's a drop-off in the second episode.
Right.
But for Empire to improve in week two, and then improve even more in week three, and more in week four, this show is building steam and momentum and becoming one of those sort of, it's kind of taking the model of what Scandal did so well, which is capitalize on Twitter and social interaction and excitement about the fans and really get people excited about the show.
Right, right. And it's all filmed here in Chicago, which is kind of cool because you never know, you may walk past a set or they're always asking for extras here. I actually send in the headshot myself to be an extra on Empire. They never call back because I got a face for radio probably. But you never know where you're going to run into these people. So it's pretty cool that they're doing it all here in Chicago. Now, all right. Two shows I definitely have to ask you about. The first season of The Flash and season three of Arrow. The Flash, this is the second go-round for The Flash on TV because it was a old series back in the day. Now they revamped it. The CW revamped it. And it's a pretty cool show. I love the show. And you never know where this show is going to go. And Arrow has just been, you know, pound for pound, great episodes.
Yeah, and what's amazing is even though The Flash is a spinoff of Arrow and they've had crossovers already, they are also unique. They're their own separate shows. Arrow is a lot darker, more about the vigilante justice,
yeah,
while The Flash has more of a uplifting, you know, trying to help people, superhero, fun atmosphere. And they're both doing incredibly well for the CW. The Flash is the network's highest rated show, and Arrow is the network's second highest rated show. They've both already been renewed for next season, and this is sort of the new nucleus. Every couple of years, the CW seems to rebrand itself. Its first iteration was it was the Gossip Girl Network.
Yeah.
And then it became the Vampire Diaries Network. And now it's the Arrow Flash Superhero Network.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's real crazy. Now, definitely on BuddyTV.com, one of the news stories that I saw, and I actually watched this last night, was the Jon Stewart was announcing his departure from The Daily Show. and he really didn't say what he was going to be doing after the Daily Show. But is there any speculation, you know, around Hollywood what he's going to actually do?
There's not. It's too early for that. I mean, as he said, his contract isn't up until September, so it's probably going to be either in the summer or maybe even the end of the year. So he's got a good, you know, 7, 6, 8 months to figure out what his next step is. I think it's just, I mean, when it was announced, people were, of course, you know, shocked and disappointed because everyone loves Jon Stewart on The Daily Show. But then when you find out, oh, he's been doing this for 16 years. I was surprised. I was like, I don't remember him doing this for 16 years.
Me neither.
He has.
Yeah.
It just seems like, it seems like he just started, but it's been a long part, and I think it's just sort of a changing of the guard in all of network television, in all of late night television.
Yeah.
I mean, it started with Jay Leno retiring, and now you've got David Letterman's going, Craig Ferguson left, Colbert, now Stewart. It's sort of this whole big generational shift from the old guard of late night to the new guard.
Right.
And I think Jon Stewart is just sort of joining that. He's done his thing. He's done it as well as he can. He's not going to stick around and get bogged down and become a pale imitation of himself. He's going out pretty much at the top of his game. He's still on top.
Right. And also on BuddyTV.com, which I love this website, you have Game of Thrones Season 5 trailer and photos here. And they premiere in April, I believe. Now, what can we expect from this season of Game of Thrones? Because I'm not fully caught up, but I do want to know what am I to expect?
You're going to expect a lot more battles, a lot more confusion and struggling for power, because the Iron Throne has been in such turmoil over the last, in this last season. I mean, are you okay if I spoil it?
No, that's fine. It's fine, dude.
I mean, this last season we saw King Joffrey died, and then at the end of the season, his father, Tywin Lannister, died, or his grandfather, Tywin Lannister. And that creates sort of a power vacuum. So you've got Daenerys gathering her forces and training her dragons. You have Tyrion and Lord Varys on the loose. They've fled King's Landing. So what is their next step? Do they find another horse and back that horse?
Wow.
And you're also going to get the Dorne, which is in season 4, we met Oberyn Martell, who unfortunately was killed in a trial by combat, but now we're going to see his family, and they're not too happy about Oberyn's death either. So King's Landing has a lot of enemies right now, and they are losing friends. So it's going to be not good for the Lannisters.
Wow, and there you have it. John Kubicek, senior editor, and I'm going to call him the TV guy, the TV guru, BuddyTV.com. Make sure you follow John Kubicek on Twitter. It's at John Kubicek. Make sure you check out BuddyTV.com. Everything you need to know about television is there. You can get your listings there. List of TV shows, all your news, photos, and they actually have games on BuddyTV.com that you can actually check out. So make sure you go and check out BuddyTV.com. I love this website, by the way, John. Thanks for joining us, man.
It is my pleasure.
And we'll be back right after this.